want you to turn with me today to the 7th chapter of the book of Judges, as we give yet another address on the subject of Gideon. We were able to say something by way of introduction on the 6th chapter last week. We cannot go over that chapter again, even for the benefit of those who weren't here. There's always another occasion, of course. And we take now the event of the great victory achieved through Gideon and his 300 men over the vast host of the Midianites. Now, there may be some amongst us who may wonder at times as to whether these old time stories have any true or right significance for us today. After all, preachers in their cleverness or otherwise might take up a passage from the Old Testament and build a story out of it and purport to raise lessons therefrom. But is it all really allowable? Is it factual? Are we not just taking advantage of old time stories? Are we doing right in taking up these military campaigns from ancient days and relating them with the assurance that we have to our present day lives, especially when we see so many faults in the men who were the principal actors in these ancient dramas? Well, we may have very little doubt upon the matter. We need to have no doubt at all when we turn to such passages as the 11th chapter of Hebrews. In verse 32, we read, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, all in the book of Judges. Of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." And so that the women folk present may know that they're mentioned too. The next verse says, "Women received their dead raised to life again. This is all by faith. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." And so on to the end of that glorious 11th chapter of Hebrews. We are assured that the lives and the exploits and achievements and the faith of these ancient people are relevant today just as much as in their own day. And if, perchance, as in the case of Gideon and others, we can point the finger to certain episodes, especially in their later life, think of Samson, for instance. What has been made about Samson and Delilah? All Samson's faults and failings in the last stage of his life. Well, so let it be. The Word of God never covers up sin. But remember this, that what is true of them can be true of us, and no doubt is in many respects. We don't walk on the public stage, and therefore we're not exposed to the public view. Our life story is not going to be written down. Subsequent generations are not going to read about us and say, well, all things are recorded, and the very idle words that we speak, and forget about the next minute. We shall give an account of them in the day of judgment. No, we don't know the real life story of any man who's ever lived, except it be of our Savior himself. What about all these autobiographies which we have read and which have done us so much good? And sometimes disheartened us so much when we've read of the achievements of men and women and the kind of lives they live and compare it with our own. But we don't know the whole story. When you read a biography or an autobiography, now that is one written by a third party or one written by the man or the woman themselves about their own life. Well, if it's written by ourselves, there are certain things we dare not tell, and which are never told. If it's written by a third party, if they're our closest friends, they don't know either. There's no means of knowing the kind of man or woman we are. It is enough, therefore, that we live by faith. Faith is the great thing. Faith, hope, and love, these three which are inseparable, which always go together. Where one is, the other two are. And you can prove the existence of one by any one of the others. Faith, hope, and love. And if our faith isn't perfect in this world, neither is our hope, nor is our love. We don't need to be reminded of that. For at any rate, the records of the great men and women of old, which expose so often in the Bible their weaknesses, but even then, we don't know the whole of their story. The events which are described in the life of Gideon, for instance, are related just in three chapters. You can read them, the whole of what we know about Gideon, just in 5 minutes. So it's obvious that we're only reading so much as it pleased God to let us know. And we're not to bring in hasty judgment when we find faults appearing, especially in the later lives of these men. But we are to remember that they were only men and only women, and so are we. And we've got to learn by the experiences which are related of those who have gone before. If there are mistakes made, to be worthy of making them ourselves too. And to give God the praise and the glory for the mighty achievements which he wrought in such poor material, and which he is still doing and may do in you and in me. If these men were represented entirely as paragons of virtue, then some of us might well be discouraged and say, well, these were special cases. We can't do what they did. But then, you see, we've no right to excuse ourselves. And any burden of responsibility cast upon us by the achievements of these men and women, because we know something also of their weaknesses as ordinary human beings like ourselves. The thing to marvel at is that God finds in any of us material which he can use and which he condescends to use to his praise and glory. There are certain remarkable features about Gideon's great campaign against the Midianites. It was all over in a day or a night, but it left its mark upon all succeeding generations. Let me remind you that Gideon's campaign is mentioned again and again in Holy Scripture, and it is used as a prophetic image of what God still does in the lives of his people and in the history of his church. I ask you to turn to Psalm 83 as a prime example of this. Psalm 83, verse 9. Do unto them as unto the Midianites. Well, that's a distinct reference to the great battle which was fought by Gideon. You can't mention the Midianites at all without thinking of Gideon, who by the grace of God was enabled to overthrow them. He and his 300 against a mighty host, so great that their own captains didn't know how many men they had under their command, so numerous were they. Do unto them as unto the Midianites. Oh yes, many generations later, this psalm was written. I like to think it was a psalm of David. There are experts in these matters who think it was a psalm that was written by one of the other prophets or priests in the days of Jehoshaphat. I don't know, I wouldn't go into that question today anyway. But at any rate, generations after, the children of Israel were taught to sing and to learn this psalm when they were beset by their enemies. Do unto them as unto the Midianites. And not only in Gideon's day, but in preceding days to Gideon, in the days of Deborah and of Barak, as to Sisera, as to Jabin of the brook Kishon, which perished at Endor, they became as dung for the earth. And then Gideon again, make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zebah and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. These are the names of the two generals of the Midianitish host and the two kings of the Midianitish host, which were overthrown by Gideon on that great battle day. Now this is not the only place. We find in Isaiah on two occasions this great campaign is mentioned in the midst of Isaiah's great prophecy. As for instance in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 4. You know, of course, chapter 9 of Isaiah, because you know very well verse 6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We all know who that is. And in the same bracket, in verse 4, only two verses beforehand, we read, Thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. So as late as Isaiah's day, centuries after Gideon, the memory of that great defeat of the Midianites, the overthrow of the enemies of Israel, was being recalled in connection with the overthrow of the kingdom of the devil himself by our Savior Jesus Christ, in his incarnation and his death upon the tree. Now will anybody allege that these stories are not for us? They haven't an abiding value. For indeed they have. They ought to be read by you. By our young men and women too. The stories of in the book of Judges are always inspiring. They're always thrilling indeed. They're amongst the greatest stories that the world ever produced. They're more dramatic, I think, than anything that's found in Shakespeare, great man though he is. And they have the virtue of a true divine inspiration. Whereas Shakespeare, poor man, had to get on as best as he could with just a what shall we call it, a cultural inspiration. Great and vast though it was, indeed. But you couldn't take a page out of Shakespeare and say, now on the basis of this, we can assure Christian people that they can trust in God. Or that certain things are going to work out for. No, you can't do that. You've got to take a text from the Bible. Because that is divinely inspired. We know from these passages in the prophets and in the New Testament that Gideon is as alive today as ever he knew him, has a message for you and for me, an implication, an inspiration. Seven. This is what he says. I saw the temple of Satan himself, against whom no carnal weapons can avail. For how was the host? Now that's all that they had. They took the lamp out, they broke the pitcher, such a crash it was, you may be. No matter how you may be past fighting, in any sense of the term. Can you light a candle? Oh yes, I can do that. Well, that's all the light they had, you know. Candlelight. I wouldn't care that much. You can manage it all right. You can, as you were the leader of the forlorn hope by the Midianites. And so with the peculiar weapons which God gave them, weapons which we optically or in any other way, the foe you face is none other than Satan himself. And he may not be met with carnal weapons. He goes towards God and for his glory and praise. In what we desire, the deliverance which we want to be achieved for us, it might be for his glory and praise.